some women, some of whom were the mothers of the genre hip-hop that took over the world in the 80s and 90s. A really cool project, and it was really fun to hear about it.
This is Jennifer Lawrence from Old Chatham, and you are listening to WGXC Accra, 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
This is Carmen Borgia.
And John Sturman. We're the hosts of Ukuleles Unleashed,
where you'll hear...
And also...
Tiptoe through the tulips.
And also...
And some of this. There's always.
And remember this thing?
I'll grow when you.
Tune in the third Tuesday of each month from 8 to 10 p.m. for Ukuleles Unleashed
on WGXC 90.7 Acre.
You are invited to join me upon the Cypress Bough. Music from North Africa, West and Central Asia. First Monday of every month, 8 to 10 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Karen Werner of Montague, Massachusetts. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Give me liberty, or give me death.
WGXC, the station that gives you liberty.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Raymond Pignone reports for Columbia Green Media that construction could begin early next year for a new building for the Greene County District Attorney and Greene County Public Defender. On October 18th, the Greene County Legislature approved issuing $25 million in bond anticipation notes and spending $3.8 million in cash from unexpended fund balance to cover the total $28.8 million cost of the Greene County Justice Center. The building is going to be on the site of the former Greene County Sheriff's Office and County Jail on Bridge Street behind the Greene County Courthouse in Catskill. Parking garage will be on the first floor of the new building. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Andrea Mako reports for Porcupine Soup that Scott M. Ellis Elementary School Principal Peter Mahan is taking a month off, and I quote, due to an unexpected health need, end quote. Joseph Lopez will be taking over as interim principal of the Greenville School. In 2009, Lopez retired after 21 years as elementary principal in Balsam Spa Central School District. Superintendent of Schools Michael Burnett said, and I quote, I am confident that Mr. Lopez will make a seamless transition into the role of principal and continue to provide the strong leadership that our school community deserves, end quote. Read more about this story at Porcupine Soup. Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that after voting unsuccessfully twice for Jim Jordan for Speaker of the House, House Representative Mark Molinaro now says he supports an alternative solution. Molinaro, who now lives in Catskill, voted for Jordan, who continues to say that the 2020 presidential election was somehow stolen without presenting any evidence. Now Molinaro has had enough, saying, and I quote, "We have been without a speaker for nearly 2 weeks, putting on hold priorities like fighting inflation and securing the border. At the same time, we have witnessed savage attacks against our ally, Israel, which threatens to destabilize the region. We have to get back to governing," end quote. Now Molinaro wants Interim Speaker Pro Tempore, Representative Patrick McHenry, to have more powers to reopen the House and conduct business until January. Molinaro said, and I quote, "As we work within the Republican Conference to elect a permanent speaker, I support empowering Speaker Pro Tempore Patrick McHenry on an interim basis. Time is a luxury we do not have, and this will allow us to get back to governing," end quote. It took Republicans 15 ballots to elect Kevin McCarthy as Speaker in January. While Steve Scalise has already taken his name out of consideration, Jordan has lost 2 votes. On the third vote, October 20th, Molinaro did not back Jordan and did not vote for McHenry either. Instead, he voted for Lee Zeldin, who does not hold any office now and lost as the Republican nominee for governor last year. Jordan failed again to win enough votes on the third try. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the Donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Ceasefire in Gaza now. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. The death toll in Gaza continues to climb as Israel inflicts collective punishment on the 2.4 million Palestinians trapped inside the occupied enclave, the world's largest open-air prison. Palestinians in Gaza have lived under a complete Israeli military blockade since 2007, following Hamas's victory in Palestinian legislative elections. Since then, Israel's decided how much food, fuel, and water gets into Gaza and completely controls the movement of Palestinians in or out of Gaza in a system of control that Human Rights Watch and numerous other organizations have called apartheid. Since the brutal Hamas surprise attack on southern Israel on October 7th that killed more than 1,300 Israelis, mostly civilians and including many children, Israel's intensified its siege, unleashing a relentless bombardment on the narrow Gaza Strip. More than 3,800 Palestinians have been killed as this goes to press, with over 12,000 injured. These numbers are certain to increase as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu promises a long and difficult war. Much of the Western mainstream media on Wednesday was focused on who is responsible for the horrific explosion at the Al-Ahli Hospital in northern Gaza, which killed an estimated 500 people. The attention was directed less at the carnage in the hospital. Given the apparent scale of the explosion, responsibility was first widely believed to lie with Israel, which has a vast arsenal with numerous types of bombs, missiles, and other munitions. While en route to Israel, President Joe Biden and Western mainstream media almost immediately embraced the Israeli military's explanation that the explosion was caused by an errant Palestinian Islamic Jihad missile. Forgotten were the thousands of Palestinians already killed by the more than 10 days of Israeli bombardment and the unknown number buried alive or dead beneath the rubble.
The atrocities are beyond description.
Mustafa Barghouti, Palestinian physician and general secretary of the Palestinian National Initiative, said on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
We are subjected now as Palestinians, not only in Gaza, but also in the West Bank, to horrifying war crimes. Ethnic cleansing, acts of collective punishment against the population of Gaza, where civilians are dying because they don't have water, they don't have electricity, they don't have food, they don't have medicines. And an act of genocide. Every 5 minutes, a Palestinian is killed in Gaza. Every 15 minutes, a Palestinian child is killed in Gaza. And it goes on.
Across the Arab world, as well as in the United States and Europe, the protests are mounting. From Ramallah in the occupied West Bank to Amman, Jordan, to Baghdad, Iraq, and at the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. There, a Jewish-led protest organized by the groups If Not Now and Jewish Voice for Peace brought thousands out to demand a ceasefire. 300 protesters were arrested inside the Cannon Rotunda. Among those who attended the D.C. protest was Amira Haas, the renowned Israeli-Jewish journalist with Haaretz, who's lived in the occupied territories for decades. The daughter of Holocaust survivors, she said on Democracy Now!, she was there as a Jew, not as a journalist.
It was people, it was an expression of common grief and shock of people, of Jews, whose main two slogans were, not in our name, and ceasefire immediately. And for me, it was very important to be there. So I was there in my as a person, as an individual, as a Jew, not as a journalist. It's the time to stop now and to tell everybody to stop, to make Israel stop this bombing on Gaza, this pounding of Gaza. It has to be stopped right now.
Another protest came from an unlikely quarter, from inside the U.S. State Department. Josh Paul served for 11 years as the Director of Congressional and Public Affairs, Bureau of Political Military Affairs. This is the government office most directly involved with the delivery of weapons to foreign governments. On Wednesday, Paul wrote a two-page resignation letter, which he shared publicly online and deserves to be quoted at length. Quote, "We cannot be both against occupation and for it. We cannot be both for freedom and against it. And we cannot be for a better world while contributing to one that is materially worse. I believe to the core of my soul that the response Israel is taking, and with it the American support both for that response and for the status quo of the occupation, will only lead to more and deeper suffering for both the Israeli and the Palestinian people, and is not in the long-term American interest." He went on, "This administration's response is immensely disappointing and entirely unsurprising. Decades of the same approach have shown that security for peace leads to neither security nor to peace. There is beauty to be found everywhere in this world, and it deserves both protection and the right to flourish. And that is what I most desire for Palestinians and for Israelis." He said, "The murder of civilians is an enemy to that desire, whether by terrorists as they dance at a rave or by terrorists as they harvest their olive grove. The kidnapping of children is an enemy to that desire, whether taken at gunpoint from their kibbutz or taken at gunpoint from their village. And collective punishment is an enemy to that desire, whether it involves demolishing one home or 1,000, as two is ethnic cleansing, as two is occupation, as two is apartheid," he wrote. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
And now, here is your WGXC weekend weather report. The National Weather Service in Albany is forecasting rain for today, with a temperature high near 59 degrees and a northwest wind at 6 to 13 miles an hour. Tonight, rain is likely before 8 p.m., then a chance of showers after 8 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 46 degrees and a west wind at around 14 miles an hour with gusts as high as 24 miles an hour. On Sunday, there will be a chance of showers. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 51 degrees with a northwest wind at 13 to 18 miles an hour with gusts as high as 29 miles an hour. And on Sunday night, a slight chance of showers before 2 p.m. with a temperature low of around 41 degrees and breezy. And on Monday, it will be mostly sunny with a temperature high near 55 degrees. And that is your weekend weather report from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Edelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC has a new call-in number for anyone to leave a three-minute message that we will play back on the air. Listeners can leave as many three-minute audio letters to the editor at 518-212-7509 as they want, and WGXC will let your voice be heard on the local airwaves. The number again to call in and record a three-minute message that will be played back on 90.7 FM is 518-212-7509.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Accra, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to transmission art and experimental sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC. Hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
And nursing apart, we know every card by heart. Overture, curtain lights, this is it. We'll hit the heights, and oh, what heights we'll hit. On with the show, this is it.
That was 2023 new music from Japan's Food Man with Peachy Peachy there.
Next, we tune in the latest episode of the I Have Seen Niagara radio theater show from G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer. The show airs Saturday mornings on the WGXC Morning Show between 9 and 10 a.m. and every early Wednesday night just after midnight.
I was a little boy, my folks would say, behave or we'll take you to the mountains and we'll leave you at the mouth of the cave of the winds, where little boys go when they mortally sin. Ever since then, I've had the desire to sneak from my window and sit by a fire in the mountains, where I imagine I would join in to the howling sound of the wind. Take you away from the mountains to put out your fire, to live in a world where none dare desire the howling wind.
Taping today, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Peter Jenks of the Federal Communications Commission. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Barris. I don't know if any of you are aware of this, but it's a federal offense to make lascivious remarks on a television network broadcast. The penalty for this disgusting, un-American behavior 1 year in prison, or $10,000 fine, or both. Anyone making a sick, subversive remark tonight will be arrested immediately. I then will personally escort the offender to federal prison for booking under edict number 364 of the Broadcasting Act of 1963. And it's a long drive to that prison, baby. Just you and me. No witnesses.
Okay, have fun, buddy. All right.
Visual artist Clarissa Tosin and composer Michel Agnes Magalhães have created a new work for Shifting Center, the exhibition coming to MPAC, that builds off the audio from Tosin's existing film Before the Volcanoes Sing. Their work will be a part of the exhibition coming on November 3rd to MPAC. Michel Agnes Magalhães joins me now. Welcome to Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be here.
I'd love first for you to introduce yourself to our listeners.
So I'm a composer, a musician, pianist, and working on different kind of medias. As a composer, we today have like a bunch of options and resources and formats to explore. So I'm working composing basically for musicians, for instruments, traditional instruments, or sometimes also new instruments, and sometimes also computer tools. And in this time was, for me, was very special because it's a collaboration with a visual artist, Clarissa, for me is very exciting, and for me is something very special.
And the two of you have been collaborating for quite some time. Could you take us a little bit through how the two of you have worked together and the evolution of your collaboration?
I met Clarissa in 2017.
Okay.
We were both fellows, Radcliffe fellows at Harvard University. And during this year, we spent sharing the same building and working basically. She has a workspace like near mine and my studio at Radcliffe. So we could share lots of process dynamics in the work. And also we begin to discuss about some subjects that we were interested that time. And for that moment together, we realized that we should collaborate together. It was an evidence. And as Clarissa has all this work and all this research about indigenous people and culture and giving the voice to their traditions, from this project we just have the perfect occasion to collaborate and to do something together. And that time approaching music and sound.
You mentioned indigenous instruments and your and Tosin's work. The current exhibition stems from research into Mayan flutes used by indigenous communities and later held in pre-Columbian museum collections in the United States and Guatemala. What went into this research and what were some of the things that you realized and discovered through this research?
For me, it was a very particular way to approach instruments, because we didn't work with these instruments. You can imagine that we cannot approach old, ancient instruments. These instruments are very precious and they are in museums.
Yeah, it might damage them, right?
Exactly. But we worked with Jared Katz. He did a research in acoustic, and he has a whole way to a method to do copies from 3D scanning and printing. So some of these instruments, they were replicated using this method. This was not a traditional copy made by a luthier, but something using like new technology. And for me, it was very exciting to work on this method. And after the production of this series of replicas of ocarinas and flutes, I work with a flutist that also participate with us from the residence. I compose, we have like many different types of flutes. Most of them have like animal shape, birds, monkeys. So each flute has a whole universe of tones, scales, colors, timbre. And for that reason was very important to compose to each flute something that corresponds to the instrument. So this was more my approach, is really to listen to each flute, to explore each flute, and to reconstruct the world of each one of these instruments.
So you say the instruments had different tones and sounds and colors. What did that do for your outlook on music as a composer and to understand the history of the Americas?
First of all, I think it's an experience that give you the sense of something that's alive, more than understanding this culture from the point of view of books or reading text, as we usually do. The fact to experiment that thing and having this sensorial experience, it's changed everything, because some of the instruments are ocarinas, or bird ocarinas.
What
they
is
are,
that?
Like in form of bird, you know, and that
yeah.
And this kind of instruments gave us a sense of space to like nourish our imagination, in the sense to imagine this open natural space. As they are very high too, you can kind of experience something that remind us a specific kind of nature or landscapes or something like that.
And I just want to remark how you're beaming. You're really smiling as you're talking about this.
Yeah. Yeah, because this is, it give us a real experience of the space. And we try to be inspired by that. We also recorded at MPAC in the concert hall in a way that we can have like a long time reverberation, or to give this acoustic image of a very, very open natural space. And it's something like that reminds us this point of connection between our life on the earth and the life of the birds in the very, very high space and landscape. And you can feel that when you listen to the sounds, just because if it's natural, it's part of that thing.
So you've been in MPAC a few times. So you have worked, you've been there with the complex sounds of the building. What do you plan for your installation and utilization of this particular sound of the building?
Yeah, the experience of at MPAC was very complex because at the beginning, as I described before, it was something related to make these instrument sounds and trying to reproduce acoustically good conditions to make it playable, having this rich reverb and resonance. And at the second time, in the composition experience and mixing experience, we are producing the space using this wave field synthesis platform that give us kind of very realistic spatial experience of the sound, giving us, for example, the feeling that the flutist is moving around us and allow us at the same time to move with them. So in a second time, all the work was were composition work, narrative sound work, and also an specialization, building kind of poetics of the sound in the space.
We're so looking forward to experiencing your work at the Shifting Center exhibition at MPAC. Michelle Agnes Magalhães, it's been such a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure for me.
Thank you. some money, feels good, and your life you like it well. But surely your time will come, as in heaven, as in hell.
You can bruise us, but you'll have to answer too.